Okay, tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben Yael England, who was chusur for Shlema for Zacharia Kamen Ben Yael Margalit. Okay, last night we started the sugya of Bishul Akum, and we basically, just to quickly review what we covered last night, is we discussed the timing of the Gzeira of Bishul Akum, how that relates to the Gzeira of Pas Akum. We pointed out, we read through the Gemara in Lamed Zayin and Beis, the beginning of the sugya of Bishul Akum. We pointed out that Tosus is bothered by the very beginning of the Gemara, how the Gemara could ask about Bishul Akum, Minani Mili, as if the Gemara is already assuming that it's definitely a Din D'Oraisa, so that there's definitely a Pasuk about it. So Tosu says that it must have been a very early Gezerah, and they were Gozer on Bishul before they were ever Gozer on Pas. We suggested a few svaras why they would have been Gozer on Bishul and not on Pas, or before they would have been Gozer on Pas. We suggested perhaps because bread isn't eaten Lataiva, bread is eaten Lasova. We suggested that perhaps bread, since it's available everywhere, it's not so special. We suggested the Ritva, perhaps based on the Ritva, that bread is something that people are used to relying on other people for, and therefore it's not something that's considered that when you get it from somebody else, it's going to bring extra korva, because you always rely on other people for it. And we explained, based on Tosos, that's why, according to Tosos, even though they limited the Gezerah of Pas Akum, they never limited the Gezerah of Bishul Akum. And then Tosos went into a whole discussion of Erev Tavshilin, and we tried to point out what Tosos' diuk to relate to Erev Tavshilin might have been. Okay, fine. We then, after pointing out that the Ran says the exact opposite of Tosos in terms of which Gezerah was made earlier, where the Ran says that bread was the more fundamental Gezerah, and that was the Gezerah that was made earlier, we then started getting into the issue of the reason for Bishul Akum. So we pointed out that Rashi on the Mishnah said beferish that the reason for all of these gzeros, Rashi on the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Hem Beis, said the reason for all of these gzeros by Shlakos, called over Shabishul Avicham Vafilu B'Kli Tar V'Kulu Misham Chasnus. It's all an issue of chasnus. It's all because we're afraid that you're going to come to assimilate and you're going to come to marry non-Jews. That posed a problem because Rashi over here on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph at the top says that what is the reason for the Issa D'Rabbanan of Bishul Akum? Shelo Yehi Yisrael Ragil Etzlo B'Machal B'Mishta V'Achilenu Davar Tamei. A totally different reason, that we're afraid that you're going to come to eat and drink with the non-Jew on a consistent basis, and then he's going to ultimately feed you non-kosher food. So we pointed out those are Tosos is already notes that Rashi says different than the standard pshat over here. He points out that Rashi on the Mishnah says the standard pshat of chasnus, but that's where he leaves it pretty much. He doesn't go on to develop why Rashi changed his mind, what was going through Rashi's mind on the Mishnah versus what was going through Rashi's mind over here. Did Rashi change his mind? Are these two sides of the same coin? Are they two different issues? He does not explain Rashi. All he does is he then goes on to say Chiddush in the name of the Ravid that Bishul Akum doesn't apply in a Jewish home. And he says, no matter what reason you hold of Bishul Akum, it doesn't apply in a Jewish home. And that's the only reason he even mentions why Rashi gives a different reason over here, to try to introduce the idea that whatever reason you hold of, it doesn't apply in a Jewish home. That's what Tosa seems to do. He doesn't really seem to address Rashi directly. Now, it could be argued that Rashi over here, Rashi holds the Gzeras Mishum Chasnos, like he does every other Gzera. Perhaps Rashi was trying to tell us why the Gzeira of Bishul Akum is different than the Gzeira of Pas Akum. Pas Akum, the Rabbanan scaled back the Gzeira significantly. Bishul Akum, they didn't. Perhaps Rashi's trying to address that point. And Rashi's saying, look, they scaled back Pas Akum because all you have to worry about is Chasnus. Bishul Akum, in addition to Chasnus, there's another factor, which wasn't an original cause for the Gzeira, but it's enough of a concern not to scale back the Gzeira. That's what some of the Achronim I saw wanted to suggest. That Rashi's not giving another reason, another motivation for the initial Gezerah. He's giving another reason that would distinguish Bishul from Pas, and therefore explain why they would not have scaled back the Gezerah of Bishul Akum, even when they did scale back the Gezerah of Pas Akum. But more to the point, we said last night, Pesachei Tshuva points out, in source number 8, a fundamental nafkamina between the two reasons of Rashi. This isn't only an academic machlokas between Rashi and Rashi. There's a fundamental nafkamina. Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Sefer Tiferes L'Moshe that according to the reason that it's Mishum Chasnos, so with a mumar it's no problem. With someone who's irreligious and anti-religious, or converted to another religion, however you want to define mumar exactly, there's no problem of chasnos. So if the whole issue was chasnos, you wouldn't have that problem. But if the issue is shami achilenu davar tameh, so then with the mumar, you do have that problem. That seems to be a viable nafkamina. Now, whenever you say nafkamina, it means nafkamina between what and what. If you have two shitos in Rishonim, so you say this is an afkamina. According to one shita in Rishonim, it would be a problem. According to the other shita in Rishonim, would not be a problem. But over here, at the very least, Rashi holds that chasmus is one of the reasons for bishalakum. He's definitely not saying, he might not be saying it's the only reason, but he's definitely not ignoring chasmus. Rashi also talks about chasmus. So it's very difficult to call it a... Well, I guess it still would be enough community between Rashi and everybody else, because according to everybody else, by a mumar, they're only concerned about chasnus, and by a mumar, there's therefore no concern. Whereas according to Rashi, he would say that, no, I have an additional concern that would apply equally to a mumar, and therefore would be enough community between Rashi and Shar Rishonim. That's the Pesachei Tshuva in the name of the Tiferes L'Moshe. Now, what would be a more pashut enough community that no one actually does mention? L'chora, more pashut nafkamina would be to just say, the guy doesn't have a daughter. If the issue is chasnus, he doesn't have a daughter, he's not going to have kids, he's unable to have kids, he's a kreshivcha, he's something, he's whatever, sris, he's unable to have children. So I know he's not going to have a daughter, so what are you worried that I'm going to marry his daughter? So as we pointed out in the previous sugyos with these machal yakum issues, you have to redefine chasnus a little bit. Chasnus does not mean I'm going to marry his daughter. In fact, the Rashba the Rashba does mention this in the Tshuva. The Rashba in Chelek Aleph Siman Resh Mem Ches was asked the following shaila. Someone said to him, you know, I thought of a brilliant chap. Apparently the monasteries used to bake bread a lot, and they would make some money by selling bread. The way the priests or the monks would live would be by selling bread. And they made delicious bread. So someone said, I have a great chap. Why don't we allow pasakum or bishalakum even, but the shaila was about pasakum, from monasteries, because you have no chshash of benoseyam. You have no chshash of the daughters. Priests aren't allowed to get married. So you have nothing to worry about with their daughters. So melech should be mutter, pasakum. So the guy says, and I have a raya, that you can say such a chashbin. With a Bekias, he says there's a Gemara Menachos Tavkuf Dalid, where the details of the Gemara, I'm a little sketchy on the details to be honest, but the Gemara says something about some sort of gezera where they weren't allowed to draw water from a particular place because they were afraid that you were going to take that water on Yantif and irrigate your fields with it. So the Gemara says, but if you don't have a field, then there's no gezera. Because what are you going to do with it? You're not going to come to do anything. You have nowhere to apply it. So the Shoel in the Rashba says, don't you see it's an Afna Gemara that whenever you make a gezera on something for a particular reason, if that reason doesn't apply to you personally, then the gezera goes away. So if we make a gezera that you can't have pasakum because we're afraid you're going to marry the daughter, if that reason doesn't apply to this particular guy because he's a priest and priests don't have children, so mela, there should be no iser. That's what the Shoel in the Rashba says. Yeah.
I just don't see the difference between this priest and just that random guy that doesn't have a kid.
Because a random guy might one day have a kid.
But at the current time,
priest will never have a kid.
So, at the current time, he doesn't.
Yeah, but he might have a child and then and the child will be a girl, and then when the girl gets a little bit older, you'll marry her.
But I'm saying,
because of that delicious bread you had.
Basically,
I mean, I'm making obviously that. I mean, when you phrase it that way, it makes it more evident that that's not what it really means, obviously, right? But yeah, but that's the difference. The difference is the priest is never going to have a kid.
I'm saying, based on the logic of based on his logic, I just don't see the strength in it. As in, it's saying because of the fact that there isn't any option right now for any. He says because of the fact that nothing is going to happen, it doesn't seem to say that it's specifically that it's from this point and onward. It seems now.
Oh, I mean, you'd admit that it's at least as strong, if not stronger, to say priest. So let's say priest.
Oh.
Okay. I'm not conceding the point, but for the sake of argument, I'll concede the point. Meaning, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to change the Rashba's response. Yeah. Okay. So the Rashba has, I think you could divide this Rashba into five sections. First, the Rashba's first response is, there are hundreds of gezeros. And some gezeros the Rabbanan took very, very seriously. Some gezeros they were much more willing to compromise on. And you can't compare one to the other. And he takes you on a mini tour through Shas of different types of gezeros, some that the Rabbanan were makel with, others that that they were not makel with. So, I mean, for example, he says, the Isra of Tiltal on Shabbos, Isra of Muktzah on Shabbos. Why is there an Isra of Muktzah on Shabbos? So the Rambam actually gives three reasons. The Rashba assumes one of them. Right? The Rashba says the reason there's an Isra of Muktzah on Shabbos is a gzera mishum hotza'ah, that if you come to handle too many items, you're going to end up carrying some of them outside. So hotza'ah, gzera, you're going to be motzi from Rosh Yach to Rosh Rabin. Rambam talks about, we've discussed in the past at some point, Shvisa Hanikeres, right? The idea of Muktzah being just treating Shabbos differently, that it's not only about Hotza'ah, but the Rambam mentions the idea of Hotza'ah as well. The Rashba says, so let's assume that that's the reason why we have an Isra of Muktzah, because of Hotza'ah. So he says, there should be no Muktzah on Yantif. If you hold, they never Hotza'ah li Yomtov, there should be no Muktzah on Yantif. And even on Shabbos, if you live in a city with an Erev, there should be no Isra of Muktzah. Muktzah should go away for, right, little children think everything that's Sasser on Shabbos is all Muktzah, so there should be no Shabbos for little kids, right, because there's an Erev, so there's no concern of any Hotza'ah. He says, obviously that's ridiculous. We don't always say you just negotiate based on the reason. And he gives other examples as well. He talks about Amiru La'akum B'makum Choli, B'makum Choli Shein V'Sakana, that sometimes we're makel with a shvus b'makom choli, other times we're not makel with a shvus b'makom choli. For instance, the carrying of a utensil for the bris mila is something that the machshirei mila, according to everyone but Rabbi Lazar in Masechta Shabbos and Rabbi Lazar the mila, were not makel with. Fine, sometimes you have the rabbanim were very serious about the gzeros. Sometimes they weren't so serious about the gzeros. Not so serious. They didn't. They weren't so strong about the gzeros. So that's response number one. Response number two, says the Rashba. If you want to take your cheshbon, just that you can't take one gzera in Menachos Kuf Dalet and say, oh, this proves that with all gzeros we're just going to compromise whenever the reason doesn't apply. No, that proves that by that gzera we'll compromise when the reason doesn't apply. By every gzera has its own rules, and we can't be Madame Milsa the Milsa. There's no, you know, you can't make any such comparisons. Second response the Rashba has is, if you take this argument to the logical conclusion, if you're matir pas hakomrim, because they don't have children, so afatatatir pas shel mi she'in lo banim kepas shel bachrim she'in lo nesuin v'shel na'arim. Your point. Then you'll come to be matir pas of single non-Jews, unmarried people, v'shel srisin, or a srisis pas. Or how about if you're on a submarine, you're in the military, and there are no women on the submarine? So then you should be matir that pass also, because who are you going to marry? There's no one there to marry. So you should be matir that also. He just says, where would you draw the line over here? This would just keep on going. And whenever you say, and what if she's not attractive to me? And what if you can come up with all sorts of svaras? So he says, that's ridiculous. You can't start making, you can't start negotiating. He also says, I'll give you another heter. Have a Jew buy the bread, bring it to another group of Jews to eat who never met the guy who the bread was bought from. The Jew who bought the bread won't eat it. The other guys will eat it. It won't come to any shidduch, because the guys who are eating it don't know who the guy is. The middleman isn't eating it. Should be no problem. So the Rashba says, you have to understand, there are motivations for the gzeira, but that the gzeira is not always limited to those motivations. It's not a reason for the gzeira in the sense that the gzeira just automatically falls away when that motivation for the gzeira is not as evident or is not even there at all. Then the Rashba says, argument number three against this shoel. First he says, before I even present argument number three, umnafeach ani biyadi haraya va'azala. I've already blown on my hands and thrown your raya away. Meaning, he didn't find this raya to be a particularly compelling one, and he mocks it. He makes fun of the guy. And then he says, another thing. Priests, they don't have children? He says, no, not always true. A lot of times they do have children. And sometimes they had children from before they became priests. And sometimes they have children from after they became priests, and they just don't tell you about it yet. And you'll find out about it later. So he says, this is something that that you ain't apotropos l'arayos. You don't know what's going on. If people commit to that lifestyle, you have no idea what's really going on with the priest. But then he says our point. Point number four is, b'nosehem doesn't mean you're going to marry them. He says, mishum b'nosehem sha'amru lav dafka mishum bito shal mocher o shal nosen amru. When we say b'nosehem, it doesn't mean that the guy who I bought it from, I'm going to marry his daughter. Just means I'm going to end up marrying a non-Jew because I'm going to assimilate so much with Gayim, and if this guy doesn't have a daughter, another non-Jew has a daughter. Someone has a daughter. There are non-Jewish women in the world, and the closer I feel to the non-Jewish community, the closer I'm going to come to marrying a non-Jew. And this was a gezeirah that they made because of Benos HaGayim in general. And his final point is that particularly with the gezeros of Ma'achalei Akum, the Rabbanan were extremely strict and took him very seriously. So, meaning this sort of builds off point number one, that all gezeros are not created equal, and if any gezerah is something that is going to be treated with more severity, it's the gezeros of Ma'achalei Akum. Because this is the very Kedushas Yisrael that we're protecting. When we're not protecting against violating an Avera, where is serious, and we want to protect people from violating an Avera, we're protecting against the entire Kedushas Yisrael, against maintaining Jewish identity. So the Rabbanan took that extremely seriously. And that's his last point. That's point number five that he says at the end. He says, Otei da sha'osin shebemishna sein ma'amidin gzeros kevuos hayu yayin ushlaku shalem ugvina afal pisha batal atam gzera lo batla. Even when the time of those gzeros is batel, the gzera is not going to be batel. And he says, for example, yayin, who does nisuch hayayin for avodah zara anymore in this side of the world? No one does that. And nevertheless, we're still goes in Mishum Yayin. A Tinok guy makes Yayin Nesach. Even a non-Jewish child makes wine Yayin Nesach, even though he doesn't even know how to do Avodah Zarah. He's not even educated in the ways of Avodah Zarah, and he doesn't have any children, so you don't have to worry about Benoseim. But still, even though the reasons don't apply, the Gzeirah is still going to apply. And Gvina, like we discussed, even if they're not Ma'amidim or Kevas Nevela, still we're going to ask for Gvina. So the Rashba says, these particular Gzeirahs, Gzeirahs Ma'achalei Akum, we take extremely seriously. Fine. So that's why the Pischei Tshuva's Nafkamina is a Nafkamina. The other Nafkaminas that we would want to dream up, where there's no daughter, is not a Nafkamina. Right? Pischei Tshuva's Nafkamina is a legitimate Nafkamina because the general idea of who are you getting close to, Pischei Tshuva talks about a Mumar. He's not talking about a guy. So what are we afraid of? That you're going to assimilate with Goyim, or are you going to assimilate with non-religious Jews? So assimilating with non-religious Jews is not so bad, because the worst that's going to happen is you'll marry a non-religious Jewish girl, or a girl who comes from a non-religious home, which is not usher. It's not something we would make a gzera to protect. It's not the best. You're supposed to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. You're supposed to sell whatever you have in order to be able to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. That's wonderful, but it's not usher. It's not the same as marrying a non-Jew. So that seems to be the fundamental nafkamina. But let's go back and explain Rashi a little bit. And Rav Vazner sort of says some of this in source number 6 in Shevet HaLevi, Simukov Ches. But let me just expound on what he says a little bit, and maybe say a little bit different than Rav Vazner. Rashi gave us two reasons for the Isra of Bishul Akum. Rashi clearly was bothered by Tosfos' Kasha. Tosfos Lam Zayin Am Beis was bothered by Akasha. How could the Gemara say Minani Mili, assuming that there was some sort of Isra Minat Torah over here? And Rashi therefore says there must have been two separate gezeros of Bishul Akum. And this is perhaps what Rashi is saying. Originally there were gozer Bishul Akum, a gezera kanmonis, which was very chamor, to the point that it had an asmachta from a pasuk, where we weren't even sure, we thought maybe it was even a dindar raisa. And the geder of that gezera is kol sheneshtana mitchilas priyasa al yidei ha'ar, anything that changes, that's formed, changed by fire, is going to be aser mitam, the original gezera. What was the reason for that gezera? Shelo yachilenu davar tameh. Why was pas not included in that gezera? Because you don't have the concern of shelo yachilenu davar tameh when it comes to pas. But the original gezera might have been, Rashi again is on this sugya, which is talking about a pasuk, a smachta. It could be talking about a much earlier gzera, very similar to Tosfos, of Bishul before we added Pas and then perhaps broadened the gzera of Bishul. It could be that there was some gzera kanmonis of Bishul Akum, not because of Chasnus we weren't worried about yet. Haraya, we weren't gozer Pas yet. So obviously we weren't worried about Chasnus yet. All we're worried about is Shami Achilenu Davartame. The geder of that gezeira by Shami Achilenu Davartame is something that's changed Mishtanim Mibriyaso Al Yidei Or. Why would that be the geder if the concern is Shami Achilenu Davartame? Why is it only something that changes Al Yidei Or, that's form has changed? So very simple, yeah?
You tell us, Asur.
Good. If he's trying to sneak in a Davartame, if its form hasn't changed, you'll be able to look at it and say, well, that looks like a pig, so I can't eat that. But if it's something that's nishtane mibriyaso al yidei or, then you're not going to be able to tell anymore. So if the whole reason of the original gzera shami achilenu davartame, then it makes a lot of sense that we're only going to be gozer on those things that were nishtane mibriyaso, that changed from the original form. If they didn't change from the original form, no reason to be concerned. Shami achilenu davartame. And then later on, the Rabbanim came along and made an additional gezerah. Gezerah Mishum Chasnus, that gezerah included pas as well. And that gezerah was not only based on this geder of Nishtanim Mibriyas Al Yidei Ha'ar. Because Chasnus relates to whether it's Nishtanim Mibriyas Al Yidei Ha'ar or love Nishtanim Mibriyas Al Yidei Ha'ar. If it's delicious and the guy has done something significant, so I feel close to him, whether it looks like its original. It looks in its, like it's in its original form. It doesn't look like it's in its original form. That is no kesher to chasnus whatsoever. So once you have the second gzera, then you don't have the issue of nishtana al yidei or making nishtana mibriyaso relevant anymore. So it turns out, according to Rashi l'chora, according to this approach in Rashi, two reasons to aser that shemi achlenu davertame plus Chasnus. Now, what about the heterim of Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim and the heter of Nechal Kamo Shulchai? So, l'chora, both of those heterim work for both of these reasons. Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim, what's the, and Nechal Kamo Shulchai, what's the idea? The idea is that it's not a Davar Chashuv. If it's not a Davar Chashuv, I'm not going to come to Chasnus because I'm not going to feel that close to him. He didn't give me anything significant. And what's the concern of Davar Tameh? Note how Rashi says it. Not that he's going to sneak in the Davar Tame right now, but when he's not, the guy is not going to have the chutzpah the first time to sneak in the Davar Tame. What's he going to do? He's going to develop a relationship with you where you're going to constantly be eating by his house over and over and over again, and then on the 10th, 15th, 20th time, he'll sneak in a Davar Tame into your food. He'll sneak in some chazer into your food. So how does that come about? Only because you're regular slow. You develop a relationship with him. What's going to bring about regilus when you have a davar chashuv? If you didn't need a davar chashuv, it's not going to bring about being regilat slow, making a habit out of eating by him, and therefore it's never going to get to the point. It's never going to get to the point that you're going to come to eat a davar tameh as a result of the relationship. But the nishtana mibriyaso, as we pointed out, only fits the reason of Shami Achilenu Davartame, does the heter of Lo Nishtana Mibriyaso only fits the heter of Shami Achilenu Davartame, does not fit the heter of Chasnus. And it's not me that's saying that, only the Hagos Hashri, on the side of the Rush, in the back of the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, makes that same point. On page Yud Dalet, in the pages of the Rush, the Hagos Hashri and Simon Chaf Ches, here in the second parak, writes, Rashbam kasuv b'shem Rabbeinu, d'bishulei ovid kochavim nesar mishum gzeira shami achilenu ovid kochavim davar tameh, that bishalakum is asur because of a gzeira that he's going to feed you non-kosher food. Hilkach davar amenishtanim b'riyas al yedei ar bein mevishalom b'mayim bein tzliim bar asur mishum bishulei ovid kochavim avol v'midi d'loba shishlo nishtanim b'riyaso ein lachushlo davar tameh shahaisa nikar. Why do you have to be worried about only you, if that's the reason? You only have to be worried about something that changed from its original form. If it didn't change from its original form, and your only concern is that he's going to feed you treif, don't worry about it. You'll recognize it in a second because it didn't change from its original form. Hagos Hashri points out this idea of nishtanim b'riyaso only works. The whole chiluk of nishtanim b'riyaso only works if the concern of bishalakim that you're working with is shami achilenu davar tameh. Yeah.
And first day, I told us can't say that because he said that's allowed in the house. I mean, according to this, if a non-Jew is in a Jewish house, would that be considered a problem or not? If he's making a food change by or in your house, is that a problem or not, according to this?
That's debatable. We'll discuss about whether the house makes a difference. So you're assuming being in...
He's changing in Nishtana, so you're in, but no matter where you are, it doesn't matter. Because now he's being...
No, because if the concern is a Davar Tami, the question is being in your house also going to protect you from him sticking a Davar Tami in there, because all the available ingredients are kosher.
You still can't tell, you can't
or
tell.
He's afraid, or something like that.
Tummy or not, so you can't tell whether it's tummy or not. Meaning by pig, right. You see, it's pig, but now mixture, you can't tell if it's tummy or not. Whether it's
right,
in the house
right.
And they're all kosher ingredients, you still can't say, oh, it's for kosher, no matter what.
Right.
So it's hard to make that mutter, according to this opinion.
No, but you would have another heter, namely that there's mirtas. He's in your house, and he's therefore not going to mess around because he's afraid you're going to catch him or something like that. Right? That would be a different heter. Now let's go, yeah?
If you're saying the whole reason that according to Rashi, that the Yochanan Davar Tami is only after the fact that you already have like a relationship with him.
Yeah, I think that's clear in Rashi, yeah.
That's right, then the Rashi doesn't even need to say that, because if you said just Mishnah and Mishnah Chasnas, you're not going to create the relationship in the first place, then you're not going to have any suspicion of
Davar Tami. No, both Chasnas and Yochanan Davar Tami are about creating an ongoing relationship. It's just, what's the end game? What were they most concerned is going to happen in the end? So it's also logical to say Yochanan Davar Tami is the earlier Gzeira, because, as we pointed out last night with my bad mashal, that Yachlenu Davar Tami is a lesser concern than Chasnas. So it makes sense that if they had a bigger concern, they would have been, right, meaning that they wouldn't have a bigger concern and then add on a lesser concern. They were first concerned about Yachlenu Davar Tami, and then they added on to that because a bigger concern came up of Chasnas. Right, so it makes sense in the progression of things, yeah.
You also say it's logical to say that would be the order if there were two different steps, because like Shem Yachlam and Davar Tami, that's always gonna be a concern no matter how society is acting or how the Jews are acting, something like that, or that's the issue that you always have to be concerned about. But Chasnas, that could be something that developed, but as we saw, it could be that the way the Jews were like interacting with the non-Jews, it came to a point where we have to be afraid of a new idea, and now Jews are going to intermarry with non-Jews.
I don't know about that. I mean, it sounds like intermarriage is an issue that's been available to us for a long time.
It could have been that. How can they make it in the beginning?
Because they didn't think it was going to lead to that. Meaning, Chasnas itself was us, and it was still something that was a possibility. They just didn't think the relationships would get that close. And then they saw that as degenerated.
Right, as they saw, like, there's a change. Like you said, they saw a change in the way that people were acting, that they'd be afraid of this.
You could say the same thing, that initially they weren't gozer. Why weren't they gozer before they ever made the gzeira? Because why was Moshe Rabbeinu gozer on this? Because Jews were committed enough that they weren't going to come to eat at a McDonald's. Yeah.
You're saying that Rashi, by providing both two reasons, is answering the question why the Gemara thought it was a deraisa?
Right, meaning that this Gemara is about a much earlier gzeira than the regular gzeira of Bishul Akum. It's about an initial gzeira of Bishul Akum that goes way back. Meaning similar to what we said yesterday within Tosfos, right? The idea that the Gemara, or within the Ran, let's say really, that the Gemara knew that the Isra of Bishul Akum is a much more serious type of gzeira, and therefore the Gemara even assumed it might be based on a Pasuk. So the Gemara started asking, okay, so where's the Pasuk? So that's because it was a very early gzeira. Now let's carry this forward for a second. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, says, Bishul Akum is not shaykh by davar shein nechuk kmo shul chay, but davar shein ol shulchan melachim, and he leaves out nishtanim mibriyaso. Why does he leave out nishtanim mibriyaso? So we said yesterday one possibility, and the Gra actually in the Bira Gra on the Shulchan Aruch says he leaves out nishtanim mibriyaso because the Gemara ends up rejecting this whole discussion and saying, no, it's a smach to bialma, nothing to do with the pasuk. So the Gra understands that we rejected that whole discussion, so the whole nishtanim mibriyaso was gone. That's why the Mechaber doesn't quote it. But when I asked yesterday what your impression of the Gemara was, so some of you thought that that's not the Pashup Shad of the Gemara. So what? So maybe there's some other approach that we can say over here. Now, based on what we just said now, it comes out very good. It's not that we rejected the idea of Nishtanim Briyaso. The idea of Nishtanim Briyaso is a real and legitimate idea when it comes to the concern of Shemi Yachilenu Davar Tameh. That's only a problem if it's Nishtanim Mibriyaso. If it's not Nishtanim Mibriyaso, you have nothing to worry about Shem Yachlenu Davar Tami. Thing is, Shulchan Aruch was paskening after the second Gzeira was already made. The Gzeira Mishum Chasnas. Once that second Gzeira was already made, So azalei hetera, the heter of nishtanim ibriyas, lo nishtanim ibriyaso, goes away. Because chasnus, you have to be concerned either way. That's how the Shulchan Aruch would come out. And therefore, if you could come up with a situation where you're not worried about chasnus, the chiddush that would emerge from all of this, at least according to Rashi, is if you could come up with a hechitimtza, where chasnus is not a concern, you would be able to utilize the heter of nishtanim ibriyaso, of lo nishtanim ibriyaso. Why? The only reason you can't utilize the heter of lo nishtanim ibriyaso is because that heter only works for shamiyachlenu davertame. It doesn't work for chasnus. So if you could somehow neutralize the concern of chasnus in some other way, you could somehow address the concern of chasnus some other way, and all you're going to be left with is a concern of yachlenu davertame, then you should be able to utilize the heter of lo nishtanim ibriyaso. How can we neutralize the concern of chasnus? So it's what we started shiur with. Pischi Tshuva quotes from Tiferes, what was it, Tiferes the Moshe? That there's an idea of a mumar. The mumar is someone who you do have to worry about shamayach lenu davar tamei, but you don't have to worry about chasnus. Mimele, it should come out lahalacha. Didn't see anyone who says this, but sounds good, right? It should come out, the cheshbon works. It should emerge lahalacha, that if you have a non-religious, anti-religious, convert out of Judaism, whatever it is, Jew, who is cooking for you, that yes, there's Nisr of Bishalakum, but if he cooks in a way that's not Nishtanim Ibriyaso, it's going to be mutter. You'll have the heter of Nishtanim Ibriyaso for his cooking. That's what should come out. That Manav Shuch is going to be mutter. Now, that's assuming that a mumar is not a problem of chasnus. We pointed out last time, or whenever it was, a couple of days ago, that the Avni Nezer has a tshuva in Simon Sadi Beis, where he thinks that there is an isser to marry a bas mumar also. That there is an isser of chasnus also. So, meaning, Avni Nezer disagrees with the Tiferes Moshe, obviously. He doesn't agree that that exists as nafkamina. But I'm just saying, la halacha, it's not even so pashut that the nafkamina is true. The Avni Nezer has rayas, Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simon Kuf Chav Dalet Siv Ches, that a mumar makes yayin nesach b'maga'o. That if you have non-religious Jews, you can't let them touch your non-mavushal wine. So some people like to be makbid to have non-mavushal wine at the Seder. They want wine that's royal mizbeach, royal nasech al gabi mizbeach. So they try to have non-mavushal wine at the Seder. Sometimes it's a big mistake, because very often people have non-religious Jews at their Seder. And if you have non-religious Jews at your Seder, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that's a problem if they touch the wine. So you see that there is such an idea of treating the mumar like a guy in certain respects. So much so, in Ibn Ezer Simon Kufman Zayin Siv Dalid, there is a shita quoted that a mumar is not zokek as yevemto liyibum, that a mumar doesn't cause a chi of yibum on his brother because there's no chasnus for a mumar. Such a shita, unbelievable. Treating a mumar like a guy. Prima Gadim in Sif Seidas, in Simon Kufi Beis, Sif Katan Beis, says that the pas of Karaim is Aser, because Mechal Shabbos has the din of an Akum. He has the din of a guy. Prima Gadim apparently holds, and now what's pas Aser because of? Yishim Chasnus. Prima Gadim apparently holds that Chasnus applies even to a Mumar. Now, applying that lahalacha nowadays is not so pashut, because it's not so pashut that any of these dinim apply to, as we've discussed, apply to Mechal Shabbos Farasya Bizmanenu. We discussed that in one of the halacha shiurim, I guess, one of the ten halacha shiurim. And Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, the Chazanish famously, but Rav Moshe also in the Tshuva in Nor Chaim, Chelek Aleph discusses how Mechal Shabbos Bizmanenu don't have a din of mumar because there's no chutzpah in anything that they're doing. It used to be, if you're going to be Mechal Shabbos in a Jewish community, that took something. You know, to go and drive a car in a Jewish community, well, before cars, but to go and be Mechal Shabbos publicly in a Jewish community where everyone was Shomer Shabbos, that took a certain amount of chutzpah. But nowadays, it doesn't take any chutzpah at all. Most of the Jews are Mechal Shabbos. So it doesn't take, you don't even feel like you're trying to be rebellious. So Moshe holds that maybe he doesn't have a din of a mumer for that reason, because it doesn't have the same stigma in his mind. Okay, but that doesn't affect our cheshbon. The cheshbon within Rashi is still the same. That l'chora, if you had a case of a mumer, and you held that a mumer is included in the gezeira mishum shemiyach lenu davar tamei, but if it's only included in shemiyach lenu davar tamei and not in the concern of chasnus, it should therefore be subject to the special heter of shemiyach lenu davar tamei, namely that when it's something that's lo nishtanim ibriya, so that it's mutter. That was the cheshbon I wanted to say. Yeah, Yoni.
What's the
sinan
admin yezer?
Tzadi beis. Yeah, so I don't know. You have to come up with another one. Question. Yeah.
According to the Maharal, it says that there is no problem with chasnus by a mumar. Let's say he marries a non-Jewish woman. Would there then be an issue of chasnus on that?
What do you mean?
He marries a non-Jewish woman. He has a non-Jewish daughter.
Right.
So he's a mumar. Can you eat his food?
Oh, so yeah. So if you understand it on the local level, that this guy's food, I'm going to marry his daughter, so then in a chinami, that would be a real problem. But if we take the more global approach of the Rashba, let's say, that's not about him and his daughter. It's that I'm associated with a mumar, therefore I'm going to end up marrying a mumar. Meaning, it's about who I'm relating to. It's not about his daughter per se, so then it shouldn't make a difference. Right? That's a good enough community between the two approaches in how to understand Mishum Ben Hosein. I didn't see anyone that actually understands it the first way, though. I'd be surprised if anyone does and understands it as a specific thing about this person. I guess the Shoel and the Rashba, but you know, other than that, you know, we don't know, we don't have control over who the Shoel is. Anyone could ask a question. Okay, I also wanted to talk about Asmachta a little bit. We pointed out yesterday that the Gemara says at the end of the day that this is only an Asmachta, that the idea of Bishalakum, from the Pasuk is only an Asmachta. And I wanted to say the Pshat in the Ran, when the Ran says that the Gemara already had an inkling that this was a type of Drabanan that was associated with an Asmachta, that's why the Gemara asked me Nani Mili, because the Gemara assumed that there was an Asmachta in there already, he was just trying to discover the Asmachta. So I pointed out, how did the Gemara know which Drabanans would have an Asmachta, which didn't? Perhaps it's based on the idea that the Drabanans that have an Asmachta are treated with much greater severity than Drabanans that don't have an asmachta. So observing how we treat the din of bishalakum with much greater severity, the Gemara then asks, okay, where's the asmachta? There's got to be an asmachta hiding here somewhere if we treat it with such great severity, and sure enough, we find it. Right? That's what's going on in the Gemara I wanted to say yesterday, according to the Ran and Maseches Beitza. Good? Now, what is asmachta? How does asmachta work? So I put the Maror Makomos to this at the end of the packet. For some reason, I was planning on discussing this much later. Prima Gadim in Psicha Kalalos, which did not make it into the Maror Makomos, because I was preparing them in Yeshiva, and I don't think we have the nice editions of the Psicha Kalalos here in Yeshiva. But he points out that an Issa Drabanan that has an Asmachta is stricter. He just puts it on the list. He goes through the list of what's considered the stricter Drabanans, the less strict Drabanans. He actually distinguishes between different types of Asmachtas, an Asmachta Chashuva, an Asmachta She'ina Chashuva. He has different types of, not Eina Chashuva, Asmachta Chashuva, and Asmachta Bi'alma. You ever pay attention to that? The Gemara sometimes just says it's Asmachta, and sometimes the Gemara says Asmachta Bi'alma. Asmachta Bi'alma is a lower level Asmachta, Prima Gadim wants to say. But where the most fundamental machlokas about Asmachta is the well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva. The Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, if you look toward the end of the packet over here, in source number 37, says the Rambam, V'ein l'shiurin ikr lahotzi osam menu b'darach svara, v'ein lem remez b'kol ha-Torah, the idea of shiurin. So there's no svara that you can derive shiurim from, nor is there remez in all of Torah, Aval nismicha zosa mitzvah lezeh apasuk lesimin, but we have an asmachta that connects the concept of shiurim to a pasuk, kidei sheyehe noda v'nizkar, so that you'll remember them. Ve'eino me'inyan akasuv, and it is not at all related to what the pasuk is actually talking about. And that's why the Gemara all over the place just says cross machta bialma. Cross machta bialma means it's not what the Torah meant, it's not what the Torah thought, it's not what the Torah intended, it's a mnemonic, It's the rabbinic way of getting you to remember the dinim d'rabbanan. That's all it is. Says the Ritva, you could say that if you're an apikores, right? The Ritva doesn't like that at all. Let's get to the point over here. Yeah. 5-6 lines before the end of the passage. Shekol mash yesh l'asmachtu min ha-pasuk heyir ha-kadosh baruch hu sh'ro'i l'asos kein. When you have an asmachtu in the pasuk, it's ha-kadosh baruch hu giving you a wink, saying, this is a din, rabbis, I want you to make. Ela shelo kavu chova u'masru l'chachamim. It's just that ha-kadosh baruch hu was not koveya as a chiyuv d'oraisa. He left room for the rabbis. But he wanted to give guidance to the rabbanim. So how did he give guidance? With an asmachta. By phrasing it in such a way in the pasuk that it doesn't actually fit into any of the midos shatar and the dreshes ben, and therefore can't actually create a din d'oraisa, but it still gives hints to what the din should be. V'zed davar bar v'emes. The Ritva says, I'm sure about this. V'lo k'divrei ha-mefarshim ha-asmachta shu k'derech simin. Not like those people who explain that a smachta is only a simin, shenasnu chacham, velo shekavanas haTorah lekach, and not that the Torah ever meant it that way. Like, he doesn't say, but like the Rambam. Chas v'shalom, yishtaka davar lo yomar, shezu das minusu. It's up in courses to say such a thing. You're going to say that a smachta doesn't mean anything? That God never meant it? Aval haTorah hi'ira bekach, there are so many levels of depth in the Torah. Don't strip away those layers of depth in the Torah by saying, no, if it's not one of the Yudim and the Shatar and Dresh, then the Torah must not be alluding to it at all. And Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't even refer to it. Rabbanan invented it out of nothing. Yesh Me'ayim. Can't be. That's the fundamental machlokas, Rambam and the Ritva. Good? Now, on the issue of defending the Rambam, so the Seder Yaakov, which is this Achron on Avodah Zarah, says, use the Prima Gadim and defend the Rambam, works out great. Prima Gadim said, not that all dinim that are asmachta are the same. Prima Gadim said there's such a thing called an asmachta chashuva, and there's something called an asmachta bialma. Look at the lashon of the Rambam. Vizeu inyan masha amru, what are the next three words? Kra asmachta bialma. If you're medayik in the Rambam's not talking about all asmachtas. Well, you're right. Many asmachtas really are like, the Rambam would agree with the Ritva. There are many asmachtas that are legitimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us to make the din, to create this din. And it is a wink from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It actually is the Kavanas HaTorah. There are many asmachtas like that. But not the ones that say asmachta bialma. When you say asmachta bialma, that's a very limited asmachta. Why does the Ritva not quote the Rambam? So I always assumed he doesn't quote that he's trashing the Rambam because he doesn't want to disrespect the Rambam that way. But more simply, because he's not really arguing on the Rambam, he's arguing on someone else. Someone else who thinks that all asmachtas, are like that. The Rambam only thinks asmachta bialmas are like that. That's how they say the Yaakov wants to answer the Rambam. Pashup shout of the Rambam? Probably not. But it's a nice deal. Yeah.
You have to take into consideration that the Pashup Shana is translated.
Although it's hard to imagine they would mess up that word. They would add in the word bialma if it wasn't. Yeah, but you're right. We would have to look in the original Arabic and find someone who knows how to read it.
It's written
in
the translation.
Right, version. You're right. In the Sifrei Rambam, other than the Mishnah Torah, are always somewhat tenuous. It's just the nature of it. We have to. We rely on the translators. And there are several translations. Maybe we should look at other translations. Yeah, okay. Enochinami. That's a good methodological point. Okay. The greatest piece that I know of on Asmachta is Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzar, and I was just told a few minutes before Shir that Rav Olzman basically said over this entire Rav Yosef Engel that I was planning on saying tonight. So bear with me for those who've heard it before. Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzar and that's the photocopied pages in the back of the Marmakamos, has a lengthy piece on Asmachta, which is just unbelievable. He writes as follows, that when it comes to Asmachta, we know that in what way are Dinim D'Rabbanan that have an Asmachta more chamor than regular Dinim D'Rabbanan? Normally by a Dinim D'Rabbanan we say Savik D'Rabbanan L'Kula. But by a Dinim D'Rabbanan that has an Asmachta, we're going to be Machmir on a Safik. We treat it kedivrei Torah. We treat it as if it's a daraisa, to the point that the Prima Gadim says suffik derabbanan that has an asmachta zul chumra, like a din daraisa. Now, what's the svara for it? So says Rav Yosef Engel, there's a likutei maharil. Well, likutei maharil says, you know how asmachta started? The rabbanan tried to trick people into believing that their dinim were dinim daraisa. The rabbanan wanted to make a din, and they were afraid no one was going to listen to it. So they said, this isn't us. Is it din daraisa? Look, we even have a pasuk. People aren't so well versed in what the midos shatar and reshben are. They're not going to know. Oh, well, which is that a binyanav? Is that a klal or prada klal? No one knows how they actually work. They just say it every morning. They don't know how it actually works. So no one's going to call them on it. Everyone's going to say, "Ooh, pasuk," and everyone's going to think it's a daraisa. Well, how could the rabbanon fool you into thinking that it's a daraisa? Only if they are willing to treat it like a daraisa. How do they treat it like a daraisa? Sveika l'chumra. They're going to treat it as a safik l'chumra. In b'makom safik, they're going to treat it l'chumra. That's the only way they're going to be able to trick you into thinking that it's a din daraisa. Then once it catches on enough, they'll let out the secret. By the way, just joking, it was really just us the whole time. But now it's already minhag Yisrael and you have to keep it. Ha ha ha. Right? So that's the likutei maharil. That's how he understands it. Now, based on that, right? And that's how we can understand very well what the Prima Gadim is saying, that you would go l'chumra. On a suffix asmachta, says Rav Yosef Engel, Maril never said such a thing. He says, I don't believe Maril could have ever said such a thing. And then he writes in brackets, he says, when I say I don't believe Maril could have ever said such a thing, it's not just an exclamation. Oh my gosh, the Maril couldn't have said it. It's, I literally don't believe the Maril said it, because Likutei Maril was not written by Maril, by the Maril himself. It was written by Talmidim. You can't trust Talmidim. That's what they say, the story with Rav Naftali Trapp. He was they printed, Rav Blachman used to tell us, they didn't like Chidushei Granat because it's printed from Talmidim's notebooks. He said Rav Naftali Trapp was walking through the Beis Medrash in Radin once, and he picked up a Talmud's notebook and was reading the notebook. He says, whoever said all this stuff, this definitely wasn't me, it wasn't from my shiurim, and those were the notebooks that they created the Chidushei Granat from. So, okay, others taina, and if it makes sense, and it wasn't Rav Naftali Trapp who said it, so it's treif, it's puzzle. If it makes sense, and it's good, so it's good. It's good Torah like any other Akhra. But anyway, so he says, this was, the Maril didn't write the Likutei Maril, so there are a lot of Talmidim made mistakes. It's impossible the Maril ever said this. Why is it impossible that the Maril ever said this? Because if the Rabbanan did that, they'd be in violation of Bal Tosef. Rambam writes, if you tell somebody that an Issa Rabbanan is really an Issa Daraisa, that's Bal Tosef. We just learned in one of the 10-minute halachas, that's probably been erased, that's one of the tainas on Tchelis. Rav Sturmbach says that you can't have Tchelis in the Tzitzis, because if you think you're doing a Din Daraisa, and you're really not, it's Bal Tosef. That's a little different, because it may not even be the Rabbanan. Right? Okay, if it's not correct, it's just not correct. But go back to the very first sin in human history. Where did it start? Because Chava says that I'm not allowed to touch the tree. Who told her she's not allowed to touch the tree? Adam told her she's not allowed to touch the tree. Why did Adam tell her that? A gzera d'rabanan. But he forgot to tell her that it was a gzera d'rabanan, that it was his own gzera d'rabanan. That violation of Bal Tosef led to all sins of all of humanity. The first sin of all of humanity. Which set the tone for the rest of us. So that's a serious issue. The Rabban can't do that. They can't tell you something's daraisa when it's not. Yeah. That's a din that you have to listen to the rabbis. First of all, it's major machlokes Rambam Ramban exactly how close to a daraisa it is. However close to a daraisa it is, it doesn't literally mean it's a daraisa, because everyone's modeh, savik Rabban Kula, savik daraisa l'chumra. Right, everyone's modeh plays by its own rules. Over here, it's the Rabbanan telling you that this particular din is not a lo sasur din. This is a din daraisa from this pasuk, not from lo sasur. That's the problem. So he says it's impossible that the Maril ever said. He says laniyas daiti baru muchach mikama duchte de kolas machtu drasha gemura shekiven ela kasuv. And he says, but he doesn't even point out the Bal Tosef issue. What bothers Rav Yosef Engel the most is that it robs a smachta of all of its meaning. It's saying that asmachta is like, that it's just a trick, and that the Torah never really meant it, and that's not really what asmachta is about. Almost like the Rambam understands asmachta, which he thinks is unfathomable. He doesn't even mention the Rambam. Can't be. Asmachta has to be something that the Torah meant. He assumes like the Ritva, and this is before he found the Ritva. Later in the piece, he says, oh my gosh, I found the Ritva. He says, just like me, I'm so excited. Right? But he says, asmachta has to be has to be something that the Torah really meant. And he says, "I can it be such a thing that the Torah tells you something that it's not yet implementing as a din, but it's relying on the Rabbanim to come later on and implement it as a din?" So he says, Gemara Ksuvis, Almana. Why does an Almana have the name Almana? Why is Almana called Almana? So says the Gemara Ksuvis, Al Shei Mana, because she's going to get a Ksuba that's worth Mana, that's worth 100. So the obvious Kasha, the Gemara, Mana, Ksuvis Almana is only Drabanan. Ksuvis Besula might even be only Drabanan. For sure, Ksuvis Almana is only Drabanan. So the Torah already calls her an Almana, Al Shei Mana? Yeah. That's the multiple layers of depth of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that smart. He could write a book that's going to include things that didn't happen yet, and is going to include ideas that the Rabbanan are later going to implement. That's exactly what it is. He quotes Gemara in Yevamah, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito. And one of the things Moshe Rabbeinu did, right, he broke the Luchos Midaito. One of the things Moshe Rabbeinu did midaito that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to was he was hosif yom echad before Kabbalah Satorah. He added an extra day before Kabbalah Satorah. Right? The very essence of Kabbalah Satorah comes with an extra geder of a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah every year. And the Gemara says, well, my darash, what did he darshan to be hosif yom echad midaito? The Gemara gives a pasuk. He darshan the pasuk to learn to be hosif yom echad midaito. Fract of Yosef Engel. Wait a second. Did he do it midaito, or was it HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him to do it? If he darshan the pasuk, then it wasn't midaito. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him to do it. And if it's not, and if he did it midaito, then you don't need a pasuk. Then what's the Gemara even asking? My darash. Where did he come up with the drasha? You don't need drashas to do things midaito? Says Rav Yosef Engel, this is the idea of asmachta. Some things in the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes as din, some things HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes as a hint, you might want to make this your own din. But in the meantime, it's not a din. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're going to be Mosef Midaito, you're going to look in the Torah to see if there's at least a hint that HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe wants something like that. It's sort of like Rav Asher Weiss's idea of Ratzon HaTorah, right? But an expanded, very pointed version of Ratzon HaTorah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets it be known, I'm not going to make this a din d'oraisa, but I want you to make it a din d'rabbanan based on what I'm advising you in the Torah. That's how he understands the Gemara in Vavis. He goes weiter, he quotes the Ritva, and here's how he understands the Ritva. Now, when I read the Ritva several times, and I never sort of chapped that this is what the Ritva was saying, but the way he understands the Ritva, and you have to look carefully at the Lashon on the Ritva, I think it is what the Ritva is saying when you look back, is that the Ritva is not just saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a hint as to what dinim we should make. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the hint, it's not just a hint, he's already implementing it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in a pasuk in the Torah, whatever the asmachta din is, when he puts it in the Torah, he's already saying, this is what I want you to do, but I'm not going to make it a requirement. Amidas chasidus. This is what you should do. Mida oraisa, it's a kiyum of amidas chasidus, mida oraisa. And whenever there's a midas chasidus, mida oraisa, the Rabbanan should come along and know that they should turn it into a din. They should turn it into a din to Rabbanan. That's how he understands the Ritva. If you look on page, on the second of the two photocopy pages in the right hand column toward the bottom, V'nira das ha-ritva z'al d'kol ha-smachta ha-isa kavanas ha-kosav l'heir sh'roi l'asos kach ela sh'lo kavato ha-torah lo chovav lo mitzvah. The Torah didn't make it a chiyuv or a mitzvah. V'rak heir sh'roi l'asos kach. The Torah just says you should do it. V'nira d'hu ki'inyan midos chasidus midal raisa. It's a concept of a midos chasidus midal raisa. Then in brackets, midos chasidus midal raisa. Really? 613 suggestions? Midas chasidus? Things in the Torah are chiyuvim. Where do you ever have such a concept of midas chasidus midaraisla? So if Yosef Engel says, I'm glad you asked. You have to look at my other sefer. You have to look in Lekach Tov, in Klal Hey, I have a whole discussion of midas chasidus midaraisla. Over there he quotes, the Gemara Menachos says that if it's a mitzvah lahaktim lovan l'tcheles midaraisla. But if you're not maktim, it's also kasher. You didn't do that mitzvah. What does it mean you didn't do that mitzvah? You didn't do that midas chasidus. Rav Zvengel discusses in other places, how do you know when the Torah is telling you something, when the Torah tells you to do something, how do you know when the Torah means it as a mitzvah, when the Torah means it as a midas chasidus? So Pasha Pshat is, how do you know? If it's one of the Yidgim midas chasidus and dreshban, it's a mitzvah. If it's not, it's a midas chasidus. It's an asmachta thing, more of an asmachta type of thing, and it's a midas chasidus. And the Chacham chitshu adavar hu l'chiyuv. The Chacham, what did the Chacham add to the equation? They made it a chiyuv. So any din drabban that has an asmachta also has an element of dinei Torah. Based on that, he says, I understand very well, based on this ritva, why we treat drabbans that have an asmachta, suffik drabban with an asmachta l'chumra. Why? Because every drabban that has an asmachta is a little bit of a doraisa. There's a midas chasidus doraisa in there. So since it's a little bit of a doraisa, there's a kiyum doraisa. He's also mechadish the concept that we always thought belonged to the grav, a mitzvah kiyumis. There's a kiyum doraisa, a mitzvah kiyumis mi doraisa. So since it has an element of doraisa, we're going to say something doraisa l'chumra. Mitzvah kiyumis, right? Or like Rav Moshe holds about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the grav holds about matzah, and the other days of Pesach. Mitzvah kiyumis. That's what every asmachta really is, a mitzvah kiyumis mi doraisa. And he says, so what? Just because the chiyuv is only drabbanan, why would you go l'chumra? So he says, beautiful. He says, I'll explain to you based on Lecha Mishnah and Hilchos Kriyas Shema. The Rambam paskens, if you're not sure if you read Kriyas Shema or not, you should go and be korei all of Kriyas Shema again, all three parshios. Frank the Lecha Mishnah, only the first part is d'oraisa, not all three parshios. So answers the Kiryas Sefer, you're right, but all three parshios are kiyum d'oraisa. And if all three parshios are kiyum d'oraisa, so there's some element that's a chiyuv d'oraisa and the rest are a kiyum d'oraisa, we're going to say to read it again. We're going to treat it as sfeikol l'chumra. So he uses that as the mashal. He says the same is true by asmachta, that every asmachta has an element that's d'oraisa. Take that element that's d'oraisa is enough to say that when you're mesupik, you're going to go l'chumra. And that's how he explains the Prima Gadim. Fizei yesham gamkin dahenu time the drabban sheish asmachta sveikul chumra vized derak suffik drabban delespe drora doraisa klal. When do you say suffik drabban lekula? When it's a drabban that has no relationship with the doraisa. Who da amru bo the suffik drabban lekula? Mashaim kin davar sheish bo asmachta demi doraisu midas chasidus. Mias, if at least there's a midas chasidus midoraisa involved. So when you do it, you're doing something that the Torah thinks is a worthwhile endeavor. It's not just something that the Rabbanan thought was a worthwhile endeavor. It's something that the Torah thought is a worthwhile endeavor. Like the Ritva says. And the Rabbanan made it a chiyuv. So when you have a suffix on something that's a chiyuv midrabbanan and a chiyuv midaraisa, you're going to go l'chumra. Based on that Lech Mishnah Kiryas Sefer. That's Rav Yosef Engel's piece on Asmachta. A worthwhile piece to be aware of. For the future. I know it doesn't have much to do with Bishlakum. Oh, scheduling notes. Sunday morning we have a separate topic, but we're still doing kashrus, but in yeshiva, I probably can't open the building before 9:15. I just read my shul davens at 8:30 by the time I get here. So 9:15 I'll open the building and Bez Hashem will be able to have Seder and Shir. Monday night I might have to give Shir early because I might have to go somewhere, but that would cancel 10 min halacha also. Huh? Oh, Tuesday we're going to have shir. Well, let's try to aim it that we should have shir early and then marav in time to get home and break our fast in time. Right? I think that would be
parsha.
Parsha tonight after marav. Yeah.